there, everyone. My name is Emily.
And I'm Elk.
And I've been drinking a lot of Gatorade. I can't totally get into the reason why, but it has a little bit to do with the weather, aliens, and the fact that my birthday is exactly 7 months, 3 days, and 2 minutes from now.
And also something to do, I think, with climbing on the ceiling, but I didn't understand that part because she was saying it too quickly.
Look, it's just, it's really complicated, and I plan to go into it in my new podcast, which is called Emily's Everything, where I just talk about everything that I ever wanted to talk about, but that hasn't happened yet. So I guess for this one, we'll just stick to, like, the books and the musicals and the movies and blah, 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 whatever.
I think sometimes she thinks it's already happened. That's how quickly she's moving now with all this Gatorade she's been drinking.
I have a lot of energy. I learned 10 new dances today.
Yeah, and she broke into our stash, our emergency stash, so I don't know what we're going to do without it.
And it was a lot of tap dancing, because do you know what those dances were from?
Da-da-da! Drum roll! Were they from a musical?
They were from a musical. A musical. And nothing's as exciting.
I think
as
so.
A musical.
Well, if you know where that botched lyric is from, good for you. And if you don't, then we will tell you. Today, we are going to speak about Something Rotten, which, when I went to see it on Broadway, was after the Tonys. It had been nominated for 10 Tonys, and it was after the Tonys, so they changed all the signs saying, like, nominated for 10 Tonys, and they only won, Christian Borle won the Best Supporting Actor Tony, so they changed all the signs to say, loser of 9 Tony Awards, and it was brilliant, and it was so great just to see that, and that already told me what kind of show this was going to be. Because unlike
By the
other
way,
musicals, yes.
It is a travesty that they didn't not only win all the Tonys that they were nominated for, but just all the Tonys, period. Because this musical was one of the best things I've seen on the stage ever. And I've seen myself on stage, so you know this was a big deal.
That's really giving it context. Well, who were they? I don't remember who they were up against that year. I think they were up against one of these shows that just...
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It probably is a show that is less deserving than Something Rotten is.
Yes.
Anyways, so the book of Something Rotten is by John O'Farrell and Carrie Kirkpatrick, and music and lyrics are by Carrie and Wayne Kirkpatrick. So, huzzah! And the short of it is that it takes place during the times of Shakespeare, so many, many moons ago, and... It's kind of just about how you have an opposing playwright whose name is Nick Bottom, that they named Nick Bottom, and he's trying to make it in the, you know, the playwriting business. And the problem though is that he's up against Shakespeare, who they portray this like superstar, almost like a rock star superstar. And because he gets so desperate, Nick Bottom goes to like a soothsayer to try to like tell me what Shakespeare's greatest idea is gonna be. And the soothsayer is like, there's going to be a new style show and it's going to be a musical. And Nick Bottom's like, what are you saying? What is this nonsense? And basically that's the short of the story. And they also kind of make fun of the fact that some people suspect that Shakespeare might've stolen some of his material. So Shakespeare kind of tries to sneak into Nick Bottom's theater and like take his material. And Nick Bottom's brother is the one who's writing all the stuff. Anyways, it's actually a pretty straightforward kind of story. They keep the story very like simple. But the writing of it is fantastic, and the music is fantastic, and they have this one moment of Alma the Musical that I think the entire audience was on the floor, and I don't know if I've... There's very few times that I've laughed so hard. The only other time I've laughed so hard in a musical was Nice Work If You Could Get It, which maybe we'll speak about, so I'm not going to tell you what the one scene was, because it's not a scene that every director does. Like, the way the scene was done is not the way it's all done, but Alma the Musical is just fantastic. On the floor from that. And now Emily is ready. Yeah. She's ready. She's already made 6 circuits of the room waiting for her turn to say something about Something Rotten.
I'm just so excited. I also remember laughing so hard. And also there's a song in the middle when Nostradamus, because obviously Nostradamus is in this musical, explains in song and dance what a musical is going to be. And the standing ovation, it wasn't... I don't think that was even mid-show. Like, that wasn't intermission. It was just a song somewhere in the middle of the show, and the people were on their feet applauding, stamping. I was sitting, number one, I saw a touring production, I didn't see it on Broadway, and I was sitting pretty high up, and everyone was standing and cheering and so excited by that. And other songs too, but that one just brought people to, because the song, in addition to being very clever and funny, they also do homages to other songs. They do a little bit from Annie and a little bit from Les Mis, a little bit from Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, there's a bunch of musicals that are like nodded at in that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the general idea of a musical, like what a musical is. They have like the classic feather kind of look, and they have the classic this, the tap dance, and then this and that. They bring everything together into the one song.
Yes. But in a way of not mocking it, but celebrating the show itself, because it's such a wonderful musical, I think celebrates the classic musical. And then by talking about what musicals are, they also, so it's sort of meta, because they celebrate really good musicals, and then the musical itself celebrates musicals. But it has, a lot of musicals these days seem to go very minimalist. We talked about Come From Away, which also was wonderful, but you know, it's a very small cast, very small set. The costume changes are, oh, this guy wears a hat, but my other character wears a vest. Not in Something Rotten. Something Rotten is big dance numbers, big flashy costumes, huge set pieces and set changes. It's everything that you want in a musical from a production and spectacle standpoint, and also from a story and good music. I actually went away singing and humming songs, which that's another thing that I haven't done recently for a lot of new musicals. I'll think at the time, oh, this is a good musical. And then I walk out of the theater, I can't remember what any of the songs are.
Yeah. This one, it's basically kind of tongue-in-cheek also. Like, as they're celebrating the musical, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek the way they're making fun of what musicals are. Just in like, what is this nonsense? But it works great. We actually forgot to give the ratings for this show. So that's also something that we're fans of, is that violence, zero. There's not, I don't even think there's any suggestion of violence. They talk about stealing material, but it's not, you know, it's not anything like spy-like or anything.
It's not Grand Theft.
Yeah. Language, we gave it a one.
Armed robbery.
You have some, like, exclamations that give it that. And there's also some innuendo, which is also why romance also gets a one, because of there's some kissing that comes up, not too much. They don't go overboard with it, but there is innuendo. The Shakespeare character is very, very sensual, and he's like,
yes.
And then there's something, this scene with, like, the brother and, like, this girl that he's crushing on or whatever, that's also very innuendo-y, but, like, it's, I don't know that I would bring a young kid to see it, but I think an older kid, or, like, they use, it's maturely done without it being, like, oh, mature must mean, like, nudity or bad language kind of thing, which is what usually people mean by mature, so kind of
yes.
Like that. Yeah.
It's sort of like seeing Romeo and Juliet, or something actually by Shakespeare, where he'll talk about people's swords or pricking someone, and you know that he's talking about sex if you've either studied it in class or if you're from the 16th century. But for most of the rest of us, the language just sort of goes over our heads. So for this one, the language wouldn't go over an adult's head, but it would go over probably almost like a tween might kind of pick up on it, because they're starting to sort of get it. But a younger kid, I think it would just go straight over and they would just be wowed by everything else going on in the show and find it really... And there's some, I seem to remember some kind of like toilet humor also. So I think
yeah.
Which would appeal to kids in a, you know, get them excited about, oh, what is this theater thing? And then you can tell them this theater thing is wonderful.
Well, it's also because, so going back for a second, like the tween... that they may or may not get it, I think they're also old enough that if everyone's laughing at a line, they can also work out that, like, oh, it's not a slapstick humor that they're laughing at. There's actually something else going on here. So I think they're also, the line is, if the kid's old enough, they can compute, like, oh, this must be, like, I don't say a not nice thing. They might not know exactly what the joke is, but they'll understand that it's, like, an inappropriate joke. But it's nothing is specifically, like, inappropriate. It's more just, like, referenced and, like, they have a song about the block, play like Black Death or whatever, so there is a little bit of that darkness to it also, but they don't sit on anything too much, and they don't go too overboard with any of that stuff. The only character actually that made me a little nervous was not a little nervous I was kind of like, okay, enough of this already, was the wife. So Nick Bottom's wife, because they kind of smack you over the head with, like, I'm pretending to be a man so I can earn money, so I can do this. Women can do this too, blah, blah, whatever. And it's like, come on. Like, I'm glad that she's this strong woman and she's going to support the family because her husband's an artist who doesn't make money kind of thing. But there's different ways to do it. So I think they were kind of, it was almost like they were trying for the laugh on that one instead of the other ones. Like, the laughs came more naturally, I think. So yeah, that was like the one thing, like, oh, we're just going to throw out this line because, of course, us 21st century people will laugh at this. So it felt a little bit like that instead of it being more of an organic kind of laugh. But not enough to hinder the overall show.
No.
Yeah, and also... Not at all. Yeah, and I saw with the original cast, which is actually specifically why I saw, because I want to see the original cast. I want to see Brian D'Arcy James, who I think is one of the most talented people ever. And he's been in so many shows that I actually like. So I think I'm also biased in that direction. And then Christian Borle, I got to see him. Borle, whatever his name is. No, Borle, I think his name is. Whatever. I got to see him too. He's Shakespeare, so he did a great job. And I just... I'm actually blanking now on the name of the brother, but the brother, he was actually my favorite. He did a fantastic job, the actor who played him. John, I think his name, I don't remember his name. We'll have to look it up afterward.
Yeah. I saw it, so I saw the tour, and the big name was Adam Pascal. He was in the original version of Rent and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And he played Shakespeare, which made perfect sense, because he's a huge rocker. And it was... I mean, he did a good job. It was cool to see him. For me, it was exciting. Like, oh, yeah, yep, that guy. I've seen him in a movie. Yeah. And there he is.
It actually makes sense. That part does, like, suit him to play that part. I don't necessarily always like him in other parts, but, yeah, that does play it, yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah, and, again, that all of the musical scene is just on the floor. There's a lot of really fun and good stuff in that show.
Yeah, that's actually one of the interesting things. They do a show in a show, which is just like in Hamlet, they do a play within the play. So they use a lot of... These are clearly not Shakespeare novices. They know what they're talking about, and they got a lot of Shakespeare in there. So it's a good show. Highly recommended. I don't know exactly what's going on outside, but I've heard that people can't go see live theater right now. Which... just makes me really sad, because I love live theater, and seeing a recording is just not exactly the same at all. And it's just really sad to think that there are people out there who were telling to see the show, they can't see it right now.
Yeah, and the other problem with that is that when she gets all like this, the only way she could cheer herself up is by making a big stage in the basement and then putting on a show that I have to somehow try to hide from so I don't have to sit and watch the whole thing, because there's no one else to watch it here.
Okay, but to be fair, I learned almost every part in Something Rotten, and I feel like I could do a one-woman version of it pretty much perfect with the original dance moves. I just need, like, one more Gatorade, and then I am good to go.
Yeah, and you know, maybe you should also practice, like, for another 3 to 4 months first.
Yes, and you can watch me and give me notes. Perfect. Oh, dear. Okay, we're going to get started on this. Ooh, maybe we can record it and put it on my Emily's Everything podcast.
That's a great idea. You should stream it for those people. Yeah, yeah.
I should do that. Okay, keep an eye out for that, folks. And until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, if I'm not still hiding from Emily then. I mean, bye, see you then. Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the pearl clutching basement dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.